Newsmakers talk to Jason Miller.
David Blumenthal, the National Coordinator for Health IT.
The health IT sector is short of trained professionals. So we've created a nationwide health information technology training program. 84 community colleges are receiving support to train health IT professionals. This year we're going to graduate 3,400, and we hope annually thereafter to graduate 10,000 a year until we reach a total of 40,000.
Hear the entire interview online, federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive.
Don't be surprised by the latest changes to your commute. Get traffic and weather together every 10 minutes on the 8s on 103.5 FM, WTOP Radio. Now back on 107.7 FM.
This program may not represent the views of Bonneville International Corporation or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions from this broadcast are solely those of the individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
This is Amtower Off-Center on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Every week, speaker, consultant Mark Amtower gives you his take on what's going on in the world of government contracting. Amtower Off-Center with your host, Mark Amtower.
Welcome to our no-holds-barred forum for discussing what's good, bad, ugly, and just plain silly in the arena of doing business with the government. I'm Mark Amtower. My guest today is Becky Sheets-Runkle. Becky is the author of Sun Tzu for Women, very cool title, by the way, and a marketing and communications consultant, just like yours truly. Becky, welcome to the show.
Good morning. Welcome, Mark.
And it's great to have you. Sun Tzu for Women, we're going to get there, but, you know, what an absolutely cool title and certainly one of my favorite books. You know that because we've discussed this multiple times. Let's get a little background on you first for openers so we can set the stage here.
Sure. Well, I'm Becky Sheets-Runkle. As you said, I'm a marketing and communications consultant. I've been playing in this arena for 20 years, and I've been in the federal sector and the D.C. community like yourself, not quite as long as you have, but for the bulk of my career, doing a lot of work on the marketing and communication strategy side for business-to-government and business-to-business companies, again, in the D.C. region primarily, as well as outside as well.
Okay. give me an idea of the types of companies you work with, et cetera.
Sure. I've built my career working with professional services companies and particularly government contractors selling services, and particularly in the IT sector. So that's really where my strengths are. I've been working more in even the public affairs and nonprofit sector in the last couple of years and have been branching out into more health IT. So when you know the marketing principles, sales and communications principles, you can apply it anywhere. It's just a matter of finding you know, the clients who are a philosophical fit to you. So more narrowly professional services than IT, but when I find clients where we have a mutual affinity for making money and for being successful, then I branch outside of those sectors as well.
Well, making money is certainly a priority for both of us as consultants. You're right, though. Having a good fit with a client is absolutely critical. Because if it's not there, you know, they're never going to do what you suggest they do, and the relationship's going to sour from day two.
It's going to be painful for everybody, isn't it?
Yeah, and, you know, frankly, you know, if I can't have fun while I'm doing it, I ain't going to do it.
There you go. So, that's right. Good for you. You know, not everybody has that mindset. I think there are too many people out there in jobs where they're not having any fun, and that's too bad.
It is too bad, because, you know, if you can't enjoy what you do, what's the point? But, you know, you mentioned one thing there, health IT, and that can be the services side or obviously the IT side. That's just huge, and obviously in the news, and what's cool is there's actually funding behind it.
There is.
Any sweet spots for you there?
Well, electronic health records is where I'm doing my work currently, and that's where there's so much potential, and it's not just the large enterprise hospitals. It's also the smaller healthcare providers who are also coming on board with EHRs because, you're right, they haven't necessarily, the little guys haven't necessarily had the financial incentives, but now the EHR is just, it's just taking over the industry to where you have to be on board to play and to be competitive. So it's really, you're just like with any industry, you know, you're following the money, but watching how the industry, working in PR, watching how the health IT pubs are covering EHRs and writing about what's going on, it's tremendous potential for clients like I work with, who may not be the largest, most household names, but we're using PR and we're using smart strategic communications strategies to break in and take on these big guys. And there's so much potential right now with PR when there is funding like there is with EHRs, and there's a need and an incentive.
Yeah, and you know, sometimes taking on the big guys means finding a way to get on the team too. So,
right.
And the PR and marketing communications aspect there is absolutely critical to get on the radar.
That is exactly right. You're right. It's in knowing you and I, and I know, see this all the time. We find organizations that are kind of chasing a strategy, and on Monday this is the strategy, on Wednesday this is the strategy. And companies do a whole lot better when they sit back on the outset and they say, here's where we want to be, here are the teammates, here's who we want to team with, here's how we're going to get there. And if that's the long game, and it's just a matter, I mean, that's the hard part, is really defining the strategy and being committed to it. Everything else is just tactics, and having the stomach to carry out the tactics.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is, you know, and having the stomach to do any of it. You know, we're going to get there shortly. I know you used to do a column for WBJ, Washington Business Journal. You're doing any writing right now?
Well, I am writing. I'm doing a lot of writing now to promote Sons Who for Women. What I've seen, and I don't know, I'd be interested in your perspective as well, a lot of the people in the business books world, they spend all this time writing a book. As you know, it is no small undertaking.
Mm-hmm.
And they work for months or however long, in some cases longer than months, and they write the book and they get the book into the publisher and they get it out in the world, and then they're done. You know, they're just kind of waiting for the sales to start happening. Of course, they don't. You know, they don't in the business book world unless you're really working at it. So a lot of the writing that I'm doing now is in coordination with Sons Who for Women. I've got a book, or rather, an article coming out in Entrepreneur. I'll have something coming out in The Glass Hammer, which is a great, as you could imagine from the title, it's a great outlet for women executives.
Mm.
And I've got something that I'm working on for the Journal of Asian Martial Arts. As you know, I've done martial arts for a big part of my life.
Yeah, we're going to get there, believe me.
Perfect. So those sorts of things are where I'm putting my focus right now. But I love to write, and I'm happier doing writing than I am doing just about anything else.
I'm with you there. You know, 100%. I love writing. You know, my third book's just out. I'm ecstatic that that your first one is out. It won't be the last. Not if I have any influence, but let's touch on the martial arts for a minute.
Sure, you're always happy to talk about that.
Your fourth degree in is it judo or jiu-jitsu?
Actually, I've been promoted, and I'm even more senior in jiu-jitsu. The style, not to get too esoteric, the style is Shobushido Ryu, which is a little known style, and it's an offshoot of a Japanese style that's not even practiced in Japan anymore, so it's a little obscure, but it's an Aiki Jiu-Jitsu, and if folks listening know much about Jiu-Jitsu, that they know that's a traditional style of Jiu-Jitsu, very old style of Jiu-Jitsu, but the way we practice it has very modern applications. And it's really, and this is not legend, it's the style of the samurai. It's the style that the samurai utilized when they were unarmed or when they needed to try to disarm someone who had a bladed weapon.
Right, and you've also studied kendo.
I've studied Nakamura Ryu, which is the sword style that I've done. You're right. I went to Japan and was graded over there. I believe, doesn't your son does tangsudo? Is that what he does?
He does. He's black.
Black belt in tangsudo. Congratulations.
Yep. Yeah, it's very cool.
Yeah, I did tangsudo earlier in my career, so so definitely a commitment.
Yeah, and it's, you know, I did Aikido,
Kyokido.
for several years, but I never belt because I don't roll, I flop. I also believe that if I don't win quickly, I have to leave faster.
There you go.
We all have our styles, right?
That's right. Finding it, just like in career, like you were saying, people are doing things that they're not happy doing. You have to find what fits you and what suits you.
Yeah, and let's go back to the Shobushido for just a second. You are now, because your sensei has semi-retired?
He had, I wouldn't call him semi-retired. He will retire when he's done breathing, you know?
Okay, right.
But you're close. You're right. He he had a health scare, and at that time he's doing much better now, but he named a successor, which was me, and at that time I was promoted, and I've the license I have is a license of total transmission, which sounds a little bit strange, but in the martial arts world, it's not so strange. It essentially means that he's passed on everything to me that's
you're
the core of the art.
Yeah, you're the heir.
Yeah, you've got it exactly right.
And you know, I told you once before, I'll tell you right now, congratulations. That is absolutely cool.
Thank you. Thank you, Mark. I appreciate it. And I appreciate that you know what that means because of your familiarity, and it is a big deal. I'm very proud of it.
And as well you should be. My guest today is Becky Sheets-Runkel. She is a marketing and communications consultant, I would say guru. She's also the author of Sun Tzu for Women, which we're going to get in to when we come back. I'm Mark Amtower. You're listening to Amtower Off-Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
Did you know that if you're a woman over 40, you need to work out at least an hour a day just to maintain your current weight? An hour at the gym every day without losing a pound? That's ridiculous. Hi, I'm Steve Bostic, president of Right Size Smoothies. And when I heard that, I was shocked because I know that if you feed your body right, you can lose weight in no time. That's why I'm going to let anyone who calls today try my weight loss smoothies for 2 full weeks. I'll even personally guarantee that you'll see the weight fall right off. To claim your 2-week trial, call now and receive free shipping and handling. The number is 1-800-400-0861. And now I've made my smoothies even better because I'm going to guarantee the first 100 callers a 2-week weight loss trial. I'll even include free shipping and handling, plus my revolutionary blender bottle, absolutely free. But you have to call 1-800-400-0861. That's 1-800-400-0861.
Hi, this is Wayne Zell, host of Blueprint for Wealth, every Saturday at 10 a.m. here on WFED 1500 AM. This week, my special guest is Julie Lenzer-Kirk, CEO of Path Forward. We'll talk about some of the interesting things she's doing with women entrepreneurs. The show is sponsored by Odin Feldman & Pittleman, a full-service law firm located in Fairfax, Virginia. For more information, visit us on the web at ofplaw.com.
I wasn't born to go with the flow. I was born to make a difference, to make waves. I want my sweat and hard work to mean something. I was born to serve in the United States Coast Guard. If you were born ready to lead, to protect, to uphold the law, then visit GoCoastGuard.com. The United States Coast Guard. Born ready.
Sponsored by the United States Coast Guard. In cooperation with the Maryland, D.C., Delaware Broadcasters Association and this station.
Meeting mission goals through technology, brought to you by General Dynamics Information Technology.
The National Security Agency has launched 2 new digital communications efforts. Both are designed to educate prospective employees about career opportunities at NSA. It's part of an overall push to recruit workers to support NSA's cybersecurity initiatives. NSA officials anticipate this year will see the agency's largest hiring effort of cybersecurity workers to date. They've targeted communications tools they hope will appeal to today's tech-savvy generation. The NSA Career Links smartphone app is available for download through the iTunes platform. Career Links delivers real-time job updates directly to a user's iPhone. NSA is also using smartphone tagging on a lot of its printed recruitment ads. Smartphone users can scan the tags and launch a video related to the ad.
General Dynamics Information Technology, delivering the strength of technology to achieve mission success. General Dynamics IT. Visit GDIT.com to learn more.
Are you looking for a smarter, simpler way to save? Now you can get the benefits of paper savings bonds without the paper. It's easy to plan for your financial future with Treasury Direct, a secure, convenient, web-based system where you can purchase electronic savings bonds and other Treasury securities online 24/7. Build your savings by scheduling recurring purchases directly from your paycheck, checking, or savings account. Change how you save today. Visit treasurydirect.gov to open your free account.
If I could have a heart-to-heart with my dad.
If I could have a heart-to-heart with my mom.
I'd probably talk about girls.
We'd probably talk about girls.
Anything boys, school, clothes.
You'd be amazed at what they'll talk about if you give them the chance.
If I had a heart-to-heart with my dad.
If it were a real heart-to-heart, I'd tell my parents what I'm going through.
I'd probably talk to them about growing up.
I'd probably tell my dad that I wish we'd do more stuff together.
I don't think it has to be a heart-to-heart. I just want to talk.
Give your family everything. Give them your time. From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Tired of playing catch-up with the news? Stay informed all the time with the Federal News Flash. The Federal News Flash is a daily email from Federal News Radio that will bring you the latest news and information about the federal government and the federal contracting world. Find out about exclusive stories and interviews only heard on Federal News Radio. Sign up for the Federal News Flash at federalnewsradio.com. Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, your source for federal news now.
Welcome back to Amtower Off-Center on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Mark Amtower. My guest today is Becky Sheets-Runkle. She is a marketing... How do people get in touch with you right now, Becky?
They can go to my website, BeckySheets.com, or SunSueForWomen.com, and all the contact information is there.
And if you cannot spell Sun Sue, it is S-U-N-T-Z-U, SunSueForWomen.com. All one word?
You've got it all one word. And actually, I also bought up the similar spellings as well. So even if you misspell it, you might find me. But if you go to BeckySheets and Sheets with a Z.com, you will definitely find me.
S-H-E-E-T-Z, BeckySheets.com. And it's not General Tsao, it is Sun Tzu. So let's talk a little bit about Sun Tzu, because I know Sun Tzu is extremely popular in the business world, but it's surprising how few people have actually read it. So let's do a little bit of the background on the Art of War.
All right, sure. So,
Take it anywhere you want.
Okay, great. I know you're familiar with the Art of War here, Mark, and a lot of your listeners will be too, so I may be preaching to the choir, but it's always good to get a little bit of a recap. You know, Sun Tzu was a military strategist. He wrote the Art of War in 500 B.C. We don't know a great deal about him. And really, I think that's an embodiment of his battlefield strategy, that he's really an enigma. He's really a mystery. But what he's left behind has been the Art of War, and that's what we're going to talk about today, and it's what the business world and the military world have been talking about, really,
for centuries.
Since he wrote it, exactly.
Yeah.
It is the Art of War. I know you have multiple copies of it yourself. It is surprisingly simplistic. I mean, there are volumes of commentaries, but the actual Art of War is just 13 chapters. It's just about 7,000 words, short, sweet, to the point. But it's a definitive work on military strategy and on execution. If I can give you a little bit of a historical context, just because I find the historical context personally very interesting, and I think it leads up to where we are today.
Mm-hmm.
Good guys and bad guys alike have used the Art of War. Mao Zedong is known to have relied on it. He quoted from it heavily, and I think he often passed those words off as his own, but regardless, the Viet Cong used the Art of War.
Yep.
The Battle of Dien Bien Phu, which really chased the French out of Vietnam and brought the Americans more heavily in. The general there, General Vo, was using the Art of War, believed in that, and studied that very deeply. And it's been said that America's how we fared in Vietnam is really what brought the Art of War to the attention of American military strategists. And now you really can't run into an officer who doesn't have a good knowledge of the Art of War, at least, you know, has a good working knowledge all the way down. The Department of the Army has it in there throughout their libraries. It's Griffin's translation that is listed in the Marine Corps professionals reading program. So the idea of the Art of War being used by our military is nothing new.
Right, and I believe it's required reading at the service academies now and has been for about 20-plus years.
Exactly. So not new concepts, not new concepts at all in the West. Japan, the Japanese business community, has been using this text for quite a while. There are over 100 Japanese translations alone of the Art of War, and of course you're familiar with it in the Western context, and it's certainly used all throughout China. They're using it to educate their managers, their entrepreneurs. They've opened a Sun Tzu Institute near his birthplace. So that kind of brings us into a modern context, so your listeners can really understand how this has been shaped as a treatise on military and business strategy.
Yeah, and it's sort of it seems odd from the outside, Sun Tzu for Women, because it's literally a martial arts book. It is the Art of War, it's a strange juxtaposition, if you will, to have Sun Tzu for Women. So explain where the idea came from for you.
Sure, and I like that strange juxtaposition. I think that's well said, and I agree. I'll tell you where the idea came from, quite candidly, and that is that it came from a publisher. I was sought out by Adams Media, who's the publisher, to write this book. I had some other concepts that I was working that were business related and that were much more heavily on the martial arts in terms of my martial arts experiences and those applications. And this is part of a series of Sun Tzu for Business, and the series is going well. And they have identified a need for, they had identified a need for this book for a female audience. So that was the genesis. And so when I was approached, I thought, yeah, what a cool concept. I can do that. The reality, Mark, is I didn't have a great deal of familiarity. I mean, obviously, I've been a woman in business, right, my whole career. Mm-hmm. But in terms of really crystallizing the unique challenges, the unique attributes that women experience, I understood them on a personal level. But having to kind of research and delve into these topics was really fascinating. And I pulled out so much that so many ways in which the art of war uniquely applies to women, and then taken from there how women in business can utilize it to find their own competitive advantages. And that's what Sun Tzu was talking about the whole time, understanding yourselves, understanding others, understanding the landscape, and then executing your strategy soundly.
Does Adams own a version of the Art of War itself? Because, you know, your next book could be your annotated version for women.
Sure. Now, that's a very good question. The version that I relied on is a version that that Michelson, Stephen Michelson, brought back. He's the author of Sun Tzu, The Art of War for Managers. He brought this version back from Beijing when he was there at a Sun Tzu symposium, and it's kind of interesting. It was a newly unearthed, or at least newly unearthed to the West, translation, and that's what I relied on. And Michelson, and his version has done extremely well. His book on The Art of War for Managers, and he uses throughout. He cites other authors. He that throughout the work as well when their translations are additionally instructive rather. Griffith and Clavel, as you mentioned, and Sawyer. So it's kind of a peppering of the best translations built on the one that Michelson brought back from Beijing.
Cool. You just added a book to my library because I do not have that. So thank you.
Sure, and it's a great read. You know, it's like, and I'm not trying to sell Michelson's book here, but I yeah. Just to kind of explain some of the differences. It's like most of the Sun Tzu books in that it takes you through chapter by chapter the different chapters that Sun Tzu had done. It's really kind of a line by line explanation. Mm. My book was a different approach. My book is much less. Chapter 7, Sun Tzu says this. Chapter 8, Sun Tzu says this. Mine is much more concept by concept. But his book, yes, I would definitely recommend that as an addition to your library.
Right. There's only 8 chapters in the book, so for those of you who have not read it. But my favorite is and always has been Chapter 11, The Nine Situations. Hmm. And maybe we'll get there, maybe we won't. How we got about 2 minutes in this segment. Talk about your experience and women with Sun Tzu. How have you run across many women who've read it?
That's a question that I get a lot, and it's a good question. I don't run across many women who have read it. I run across a few, and those who have really get it. You know, they've applied it. But I find myself, it's not like saying I wrote a book, 20 Ways to Get Better at Watercoloring. I mean, that's pretty easy to get. I really have to explain who and what Sun Tzu is and why it matters. So there is a disconnect there. The ones who I've been able to kind of break through to and who do understand it or have understood it, they are excited by it. And a lot of the people who really know more about it tend to be more men because they've read it, or at least they're comfortable with it.
Okay, very cool. Now, how long did it take you to write?
It didn't take me long to write at all because along with getting the green light, I was also given a deadline. And as you know, the publishing industry is deadline driven, and despite the speed at which they work or don't work, they don't extend that same grace to authors. I wrote this from the green light. I wrote this whole book in 2 months.
Holy cow.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, I had the luxury of dedicating myself almost entirely to it full time, which was helpful. And I had to kind of get away and write in solitude and check into a hotel for several days and just really be alone with it. But I was able to do a lot of work in a very short amount of time.
Cool. My guest today is Becky Sheets Runkle. As you may tell, she is the author of Sun Tzu for Women. When we come back, we're going to delve into the book. I'm Mark Amtower. You're listening to Amtower Off Center on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Video teleconferencing solutions are changing the way people communicate by breaking down walls and enabling face-to-face communication, regardless of distance or environment. Tanberg, now a part of Cisco, developed Break Down the Walls to provide a window into the ways government, education, and healthcare organizations are using VTC solutions to help them operate more effectively and efficiently, and the ways video solutions can be used to address challenges facing public sector organizations today. Learn more at BreakDownTheWalls.com.
What role does the Federal Labor Relations Authority play in fostering stable labor management relations? How is Federal Labor Relations Authority revitalizing, reinventing, and reengaging itself? And what does the future hold for the Federal Labor Relations Authority? Join host Michael Keegan next week as he explores these and other questions with his very special guest, Carol Waller-Pope, the chairman of the Federal Labor Relations Authority, FLRA.
Your eye is the model for a new camera that might allow higher quality images from small devices like your iPod. The camera captures light on a curved surface rather than the flat photo detectors in today's commercial digital cameras. John Rogers, a University of Illinois engineer, says since light curves as it enters a camera, this is more natural and eliminates complex lensing.
If you want to take out a lot of the bulk and the cost and the weight from the lenses, you can do that and retain spectacular image quality by adding curvature.
But while mimicking nature's eyes enhances static images,
we couldn't find any example of a living organism that has the kind of widely adjustable zoom that a conventional off-the-shelf digital camera has.
So Rogers engineered a hydraulic system that allows his photo detector to change its curvature to match changing images during zooming. For more, go to www.nae.edu/radio. With the National Academy of Engineering, Randy Atkins, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Could switching to GEICO really save you 15% or more on car insurance? Do mimes make even less sense when you can't see them?
The mime is stuck inside a giant invisible box. Now he's drawing an imaginary door. And now he's opening his imaginary door. And the imaginary door just shut on his fingers. Now he's doing an imaginary cry.
Switch to GEICO now and you could save hundreds on your car insurance. For a free rate quote, visit GEICO.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15%.
I wasn't born to go with the flow. I was born to make a difference, to make waves. I want my sweat and hard work to mean something. I was born to serve in the United States Coast Guard. If you were born ready to lead, to protect, to uphold the law, then visit GoCoastGuard.com. The United States Coast Guard. Born ready.
Sponsored by the United States Coast Guard. In cooperation with the Maryland, D.C., Delaware Broadcasters Association and this station.
The men and women of our National Guard and Reserve Forces are working hard on the battlefield and here at home. Employer support of the Guard and Reserve is working just as hard for them. For over 36 years, ESGR has paved the way for greater understanding between our Guard and Reserve Forces and their civilian employers, promoting a culture where all American employers support and honor the military service of their employees. Together, we all serve. To learn more, visit www.esgr.mil.
Government personnel must continue to achieve mission-critical objectives no matter their work environment. Video conferencing technologies provide a highly effective collaboration solution for federal employees affected by budget cuts, BRAC initiatives, and telework mandates if they are secure based on open standards and deployable in limited bandwidth environments. Polycom is the first video provider to have an ultimate HD portfolio that is JITC certified, offering real-time face-to-face communication without compromising secure networks or consuming excessive bandwidth. Polycom enables government customers to collaborate over voice and video anywhere, anytime, securely both inside and outside the firewall, offering high-definition video calls at half the bandwidth of other companies. To learn more, visit polycom.com/federal.
The Telework Center arms you with all the information you need to know about teleworking in the federal government. Go to federalnewsradio.com, keyword Polycom.
WFED Washington, WWFD Frederick, WWWTFM HD2 Manassas, WTOPFM HD2 Washington, the Washington, D.C. home of Navy athletics.
Welcome back to Amtower Off-Center on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Mark Amtower. My guest today is Becky Sheets-Runkle. Becky is a marketing and communications consultant, and she is the author of Sun Tzu for Women. You can find Becky at suntzuforwomen.com, S-U-N-T-Z-U. Becky, let's talk about how this book, The Art of War, and your book can help women in business today.
All right, sure. Well, I'd start off by saying that women have a great deal to gain from reading Sun Tzu, because generally speaking, women haven't read Sun Tzu. So the good news is that there's awesome potential there, and it's in applying his lessons in a modern context and making them actionable. I think once we're able to get over the idea of war being a metaphor and really understand that Sun Tzu was not a warmonger, you know, he didn't advocate for that. He advocated for fighting when you needed to fight. He advocated for fighting when you knew you were going to win, but he also advocated for never fighting if there wasn't a reason to fight. If you didn't have to, you didn't. So diplomacy and finding creative ways out of altercations or out of situations is paramount for Sun Tzu as well. What I've focused on, there's so much to take away out of this and out of what Sun Tzu says that we can apply. And I can't begin to cover it all, you know, on this segment. But what I can do is talk about some of the common pitfalls that women in business tend to have, as well as a lot of our common attributes, and these are not going to be universal and they're not going to be unique to women. Of course, men have these as well. But that's really one of the benefits, I think, of this book, is in understanding our own strengths, our own weaknesses, and as I said, the competitive landscape, and then understanding what our competitive advantages are therein. So if I could just, can I just touch on what some of these common pitfalls are?
Go for it.
Great. And we can get into any more detail with any one of these.
I'll stop you if I need
perfect.
To, but you're
perfect.
I don't like to interrupt a roll.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, I tend to think all over the place, so if you stop me, that's fine. The common pitfalls that women tend to experience in business are generally a seeking to avoid conflict, almost a fear of conflict, not wanting to be seen as too bold or too aggressive or too, you know, you name it. Not knowing when to pick battles, not knowing when to fight this battle or when just to let it go, and making the determination as to when it's in our best interest. Wanting to stay in our comfort zone and keep the peace versus doing what may be in our best interest. Being true to ourselves, and this is a big one, knowing when to be true to ourselves or when to, if ever, adopt a more masculine leadership style. And I think that is where a lot of the folks who might have an issue with Sun Tzu for Women might have a greater issue. It's the idea that, well, isn't this going to encourage women to adopt a more masculine or aggressive leadership style? And the answer is no. What Sun Tzu would say is that you must be authentic to who you are, as opposed to adopt someone else.
But let me stop you right there for a second. I want you to elaborate on this point. Knowing, being true to yourself means knowing who you are. And this is more universal than gender. How does one know who oneself is? I mean, I actually wrote a book on that. That's what the Epiphany book's about, why epiphanies never occurred to couch potatoes. But it's why I am the way I am. But how?
Well, that is a fantastic question. And what I would say, and I try to address this, because let me try to take a big picture approach to it. A lot of what Sun Tzu writes about, and he's imparting this wisdom onto his ideal general, and it's in how to have the spirit, the tenacity, the wherewithal to be victorious. So that has to come from within, and that has to come from knowing yourself and being comfortable with yourself. And that comes from experience, and that comes from battle, right? If to use battle again as a metaphor, that comes from being in the trenches, being across the table from the client.
Okay,
stop
right there a second. Sure. How much did you learn about yourself early on when you would do your first hard sparring in either jiu-jitsu or in Tang Soo Do? You know, in Tang Soo Do, you know, you actually get tagged, you know, pretty hard sometimes.
Right.
I remember my son, first time he got hit in the head, you know, here's a rude awakening.
Right. Well, initially, I learned how to get hit. And I didn't learn, Mark, it took me years, and I've done martial arts now for over 20 years. It took me years to find my way. I'd done the hard styles, and by that I mean the karates. And karates are good, and I still teach a lot of that, and I'm not disparaging that. But what I found, you and I talked about it earlier, finding what's right for you, and this does apply to business. I know it's a little bit of a stretch, but I found that getting in the ring with the guy who's three times my size and having him deliver the hardest blow he can deliver and having me block it as hard as I can and then try to deliver the hardest blow I could deliver was just a recipe for disaster. I mean, it was like, the analogy I used was, it's like having a compact car go head on head with a semi. No matter how many times that compact tries to hit that semi, it's going to lose. It was a recipe for disaster. So then I found the jiu-jitsu, and as you know from doing Aikido, it's not about force on force.
Mm-mm.
It's about utilizing that force, redirecting that force, enabling, having that person come at you with everything they have, the harder, the stronger, the better, and then redirecting that to their own devastation.
Right, your sphere of influence, to just take that energy and redirect.
Exactly, to take that energy, exactly. So that's the lesson that I learned in martial arts that I apply to business. And that idea of minimum effort and maximum results is what Sun Tzu would advocate, and anybody rational would advocate. We don't always do it in our business lives, but we should.
Right, and just the historical aspect real quick again, Sun Tzu was a general in one of the smaller of the five provinces or subsets of China at the time, and they ended up being the dominant one at the end. Is that accurate?
I mean, to tell you the truth,
It's a myth.
Well, exactly. It's what we came down to, what we talked about before the call. I have not spent a lot of time focused my energies on studying Sun Tzu, the historical figure, because I really think so much of that information is dubious, that I've focused more on what he said and the modern context, what I said earlier about the Chinese utilizing him, the Vietnamese utilizing him, and the Americans utilizing him. That's been my area of focus. But I think you're right in terms of what's known to be common history of him.
Yeah. All right, we have about 2 minutes left in this segment. Let's go back to where we were before you were rudely interrupted. You have any more pitfalls?
The other pitfalls are, and this is another one of my favorites, it's not being able to ask for what we want. That is so fundamental, and it sounds so easy. But I will tell you, Mark, that it's not just something that women deal with, but it's especially something that women deal with. What we do is we feel like if we work hard, if you're my boss and I work hard, you're going to notice it and you're going to reward me. It's not how life works. That's not how life works. We have to ask, well, you see how much the long hours I'm working and you see the sacrifices that I'm making. You'll know that it's time to give me a raise. That's not how it works.
No.
Men are much more aggressive and much more successful and knowing when to and asking for what they want, the promotion, the raise, the better benefits, you name it. And even in a business partnership deal or in a mergers and acquisitions deal, men are more comfortable with it. And that is a huge pitfall. And if that's the only thing that people take away from this book because they just read that page, I hope that has a huge impact.
Well, I only looked at the galleys. I don't have a copy of the book yet. That will be the other book that I add to the library.
That
this
will be
week.
Forthcoming.
But you have to know how to ask too. So, I did not read that page yet. So, do you teach people how to ask?
No, I don't get into the details of the diplomacy and the politics behind them. It's a good question, but in terms of how to ask, that comes back to what I'd said about being infused with that spirit of winning, being infused with that spirit of victory, and that is being prepared, being ready, the time being right, and this is something that Sun Tzu would say, the person who wins is the person who goes in knowing that they're already victorious. In other words, you have to go into a situation, board meeting, client meeting, whatever, with the idea that you have already won. And it's not about beating the client or beating the board, but it's about advancing your agenda. And if you go in fearful or with excuses about why this won't work, why you won't win, why you're not going to be on the team, then you've already lost. So that all, again, kind of comes, it does come from within. And I think in reading Sun Tzu for women, your reader will get a better sense of how to develop that, how to grow into that herself, how to have that confidence.
Cool. My guest today is Becky Sheets Runkle. She is the author of Sun Tzu for Women. And when we come back, we're going to delve a little deeper into the book. I'm Mark Amtower. You're listening to Amtower Off-Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
The underlying battle is trying to lay out the framework for how we're going to deliver services over the internet without saturating the backbone, and do it in a way that you don't censor the internet, which is what net neutrality is getting at, but simply try to moderate bandwidth in a way which is fair.
Stay up to date with technology. It's Stratford University's Tech Talk Radio, Saturday mornings from 9 to 10 on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Things just don't happen. You need a plan. A federal career can last 30 years or more, and so can federal retirement. Tune in each Monday at 10 a.m. to get the information you need to plan your course for financial security, solid benefits, and optimum health care. 100% focused on the federal employee for your benefit. Presented by NITP has the answers to your mid-career and retirement planning questions. Listen to For Your Benefit Mondays at 10 a.m. on 1500 a.m. Federal News Radio for an hour that can change your future.
Please join the American Federation of Government Employees for its series, Inside Government, brought to you in part by Purchasing Power, Grantham University, and AVU Technologies. The weekly program gives you the real story on what's happening inside federal agencies and the rights of federal employees. Hear the latest from the nation's top lawmakers, celebrities, journalists, union leaders, and federal workers. Don't miss AFGE's Inside Government, Friday at 10 a.m. right here on Federal News Radio, 1500 a.m.
If you're like most people, you have many financial questions like, can I afford to retire? How do I protect my nest egg? Will I outlive my money? Hi, I'm Mark Tabron. We'll tackle these questions and more every Saturday morning at 10:30. Learn how to protect and grow your money with me, Mark Tabron, on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Can't wait until Saturday? Call Tabron & Associates Financial Services at 301-773-3923.
And now Ask the CIO, brought to you by Vion Corporation.
Dan Trainer is the Chief Information Officer of the Tennessee Valley Authority. He says there's a simple motto the IT organization tries to live by to ensure they meet the agency's goals.
Run, one, and fun is what we like to say. Run IT like a business, meaning, you know, provide best possible products and services at a competitive cost. Be one with the business, and that's where that alignment thing comes in. And then fun doing business, which is all about the people that make up the IT organization.
CIOs and IT directors, is your network attached storage infrastructure out of control? Do you have dozens and dozens of NAS appliances that are difficult to administer? Ask the experts at Vion Corporation how Hitachi's high-performance NAS, powered by BlueArc, can consolidate your NAS infrastructure, reduce your number of NAS appliances, and improve your NAS performance. With a 30-year partnership, Vion and Hitachi Data Systems have been bringing you innovative technologies with quality service. Visit Vion.com to learn more. That's Vion.com. For over 40 years, ManTech employees have been solving complex problems for the national security community. Whether they're providing secure satellite communications to the Department of Defense or investigating threats in cyberspace for intelligence agencies, their work is distinguished by high ethical standards and a deep commitment to their customers' success. They've created a culture that encourages individuals to bring innovative ideas and technology to those charged with protecting the homeland. Due to the high demand for ManTech skills and expertise, they have tremendous career opportunities for cleared, highly skilled IT professionals, security experts, intelligence analysts, engineers, and technicians. In 2010, ManTech was selected for Fortune Magazine's 100 Fastest Growing Companies list, named a top 10 best employer for veterans by Military Times Edge Magazine, and for the fourth year in a row, was selected as a top 10 military-friendly employer by GI Jobs Magazine. Apply for openings today at mantech.com/careers. That's mantech.com/careers. ManTech is an equal opportunity employer.
There are those who dedicate themselves to a sense of honor, to a life of courage, and a commitment to something greater than themselves. They have always defended this nation and each other. They still do. The few, the proud, the Marines.
Connect with Federal News Radio wherever you are.
Like us on Facebook to see the hottest news stories on your wall. Follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/FedNewsRadio. Download our free iPhone app. Just go to the App Store and search for Federal News Radio. And now, connect to the radio station straight from your cell phone. Just call 712-432-6616. Go to federalnewsradio.com and search for social media for details.
Welcome back to Amtower, our center on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Mark Amtower. My guest today is Becky Sheets-Runkle. She's a marketing and communications consultant and author of Sun Tzu for Women, and you can find her at suntzuforwomen.com, S-U-N-T-Z-U, and obviously you said you bought the variations too. We haven't delved into the meat of the book, so give us some key themes from the book for this last segment.
Absolutely. You know, Sun Tzu writes about the basics. When he uses some archaic Chinese terminology and things that we may not be familiar with, but I believe that success lies in the basics, and everything in life worth having is about fundamentals. And some of the most fundamental themes of Sun Tzu for Women and of The Art of War are the ideas of being positioned well. So in a military landscape, you can certainly appreciate that. The translation for businesses, you have to be in a position to be successful. You have to be at an organization, or if you're starting an organization, whatever it may be, you've got to be someplace where you can grow, where you can apply your attributes and know what those attributes are, which again, we talk about a great deal in the book, in order to be successful, in order to be in an advantageous position. And he often writes about, if you're going to be victorious, you've got to get to that position first. So the idea of innovation, of course. What I find among a lot of women in the business community, and it's not just women, but you find so many people who are settling for their positions, who are someplace where they're not able to really apply their skills. And I know we're in a down economy. I realize that. But we all have so much potential and so much opportunity, and I'm a big believer in changing the game. If you need to change the conditions within your organization in order for you to really allow your skills to shine, then do that. And if you have to change the game so radically that you have to get out of that organization or do your own thing or transition in some way, then you need to take that initiative and make that possible. And that's something that Sun Tzu would be a major advocate of.
Cool.
You're
on a hot theme right there, but you know, the positioning, choosing the ground on which you fight, mm-hmm. Certainly. Go.
Right. And I mean, I'll just to give you a quick example, I was at a networking event. It's actually, I believe I mentioned in the book, I met a woman she started her own organization, her own company, and she was selling into the Department of Defense. That was her audience, and that's where her background is. And at every turn, she was just crying over how difficult it is for a woman to do business with a Department of Defense, which, by the way, is not necessarily true, but that's not the point. As women who were at that organization were telling her, hey, look, I've worked there for years. But
yeah, tell that to Mimi Browning.
Exactly. It didn't go over very well. But she had started a company predicated upon the idea of selling into an organization that she was sure she wasn't going to be successful selling into. So she had complete control to create her battlefield because she created the company. So that's an extreme example, but you know, you can see these day to day with people. Another major theme is preparation. I mean, you know, from The Art of War, that is one theme that Sun Tzu comes back to over and over again, is the idea that you've got to be ready for everything. You've got to be prepared for every engagement, for every outcome, for every possible scenario, for an ambush before it happens. Mm-hmm. And that there's just no substitute for that. And you asked me earlier a question about how can you be ready for this, or how can you take this on? And it comes back to preparation and experience and being there before and having done that. And a lot of that comes into, I know we live in a culture where you read an article tomorrow to five ways to do this, and you know, you think it's going to change your life. Of course, we don't think it's going to change your life. But the point is, we're not going to get these pearls of wisdom from a 30-second blog or from a tweet. That's not where wisdom lives. It lives in experience and having done things before and having applied them to your life. And you can always get better and know more and fine-tune those, and you should. But being prepared and really knowing who you are and what your challenges are major themes of Sun Tzu.
There's huge themes here, but touch a little bit on some of the examples that you use at the end of some of the chapters, because you pick a couple of stories here that are, you know, inspiring for, right, should be inspiring for everybody, but particularly for women.
Right. You're right. There's a woman warrior. With every one of the chapters, I have profiled a woman warrior, and these are from Carly Fiorina, Meg Whitman, Indra Nooyi, you know, your big kind of heavy hitters, as well as some literal women warriors, women who've done battle, women like Queen Nzinga, who folks may or may not be familiar with, Rhonda Cornum, who was a POW in Iraq, fantastic story, and even diplomats, military battlefield diplomats like Queen Elizabeth and Condoleezza Rice. I use a lot of those examples. And let me use kind of two examples to illustrate another theme of Sun Tzu, and that's the idea of knowing when to fight and when not to fight. He said, he who knows when to fight and when not to fight will win. And I've got two contrasting examples on when to fight and when not to fight. Pat Russo was the CEO of Lucent, and throughout her career, she was, even as a senior-level person, people who didn't know her mistook her for the secretary, asked her to get them coffee. She tells an example where she had a client who refused to work with her because she's a woman. I mean, these things happen. They're not good. They're just kind of circumstances. Her reaction was, you know, it's not worth it. I'm not going to fight this battle. I'm not going to convince this client who doesn't want to work with me that he should, and that's not in my best interest. I'm just going to move on and fight the battles that are worth fighting. To contrast that, Carly Fiorina, who we've got great examples of how to win in business and what happens when you lose from Carly Fiorina, she tells a story in her biography of being an entry-level salesperson at AT&T, where her boss introduces her to a client, and he says, "This is Carly Fiorina, our token bimbo." Can you imagine?
Holy.
Can you imagine Carly Fiorina being called a token bimbo? And this guy, you know, saying this. Her response was just to kind of laugh and with embarrassment at the time and then pull them aside afterwards and say, "You're never going to talk to me like that again." So we've got two different extreme examples. Some battles you fight and some battles you just walk away from.
Well,
so,
she also chose the field in which to do it, not in front of the client.
Exactly. Exactly. And she's an example of technology. Telecom and technology are such great fields for women because they're changing and they're innovating, and those tend to be, historically, have been the best opportunities for women because they're open to new ideas and they're open to fresh approaches. Mm. And she's an example of that.
And there's a ton of great examples in the government market right now. You know, we've had people like Karen Evans and Dee Lee and Mimi Browning, who was at the Army. You know, there's just a lot of women there currently. I mean, we just talked about graduates, but
sure.
Final thoughts on why people should read this book, why guys should read this book, why anybody should read this book.
Why anybody should read it. Well, guys, I've had a number of gentlemen who are colleagues or clients of mine who asked me if they should read it because they'd like to. And what I told them was the initial concept was really not gender specific. When I was researching this initially, I was looking at it more broadly. So in terms of the attributes, in terms of what Sun Tzu says we should all do and we should all have to be victorious, they apply to everybody. So certainly there's a lot to be gained from men reading this. And not only that, but most men work with women or report to women or have women reporting to them. So it's going to help with collaboration and communication and some of the almost softer skills that we somehow take for granted that are really, we call them softer skills, but a lot of times they're the real strengths that women have to offer and bring to bear that can make the difference in decision making and in being successful. So certainly it has very broad appeal, and for women in general, I mean, it's for the Fortune 500 person who's running the company, making the big decisions, and it's for the entry level person who's still trying to find her way and find out who she is and what she wants to do. I think that from the folks I've talked to, that the appeal has been very broad. So I almost wish it were a little bit more narrow, where I could say, okay, here's the audience, but
everybody.
But it's everybody, or especially women, but even then, yeah. Women, et cetera.
And especially women who are just starting out, women going to college, women just getting out of college, women in their first jobs. I did read some of The Galley. It's not easy, but I do it. Becky, thank you so much. You can find Becky's book at Sun Tzu for Women. My guest has been Becky Sheets-Runkle, marketing consultant, author of Sun Wusu for women, and superb. Actually, you know, she's a real martial artist, boys and girls. So if you're interested in jiu-jitsu, you can get in touch there, too. There you go. This is not my day job. Check out my new book, Selling to the Government. You can order it at Amazon, pick it up at your local Barnes, and remember, you've